Welcome to the weekly Dharma Talk podcast from the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling Buddhist Meditation Center. In this very special Dharma Talk, led by Kathy Lamo Jackson and Marcus Casey, we honor the life and activity of our beloved teacher, Kenpo Carter Rinpoche, who passed on October 6th. First, Marcus shared some of the history of Rinpoche's early life, followed by a few comments by Kathy Lamo. Next, we invited our community to come forward and share heartfelt moments with Rinpoche. We ended this special meeting chanting Calling the Guru from Afar in English, written by Jamgon Khantral Lodro Taye. This prayer captures the heart of the Kagyu teacher-student relationship. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. I know you expected to see our precious Lama Kathy Wesley here today, but because our spiritual teacher for many of us, Kenpo Carter Rinpoche, he passed away a week ago today, around 3:30 in the morning, and Lama Kathy is up at the retreat site with the lamas doing 49 days of very specific practices. In fact, she just called me yesterday and said, my husband's going to come and drop off his text to you because I need all my notes or my other practices. So each week they're doing a different practice. And just to let you know, if you're interested, his cremation is Sunday at Karmi Ling, and you can talk to me afterwards if you're interested in going. So today's program is, and this is at the behest of KTD and Lama Kathy and the center here. First, Marcus, this is Marcus Casey, one of the mentors and meditation instructors here, and I will speak a little bit about some of the highlights of Rinpoche's life in case you might not have met him. Or if you have, sometimes we forget, we all have such a personal relationship with him, we forget all that he's gone through. That'll be about 10 or 15 minutes, and after that, this is kind of a debriefing session where we want to really have everyone share the stories of how he touched your life. So think about the stories right now, and we'll have an open mic for that. And then at the very end, we're going to chant Calling to the Lama from Afar, which is a very tender-hearted practice acknowledging the teacher.
So Lama Kathy and I are kind of tag-teaming. This is all a lot of spur-of-the-moment kind of things as we react to changing events. So I'm going to try to summarize some of Rinpoche's life story and let you know exactly where he's come from, because it is an amazing life. He was born in 1924. He was born the same year as His Holiness the 16th Karmapa. And he was born to nomadic parents who taught him to read and write, and he began to memorize texts even before he entered the monastery at age 12. And he entered Trangu Monastery and studied and practiced for 6 years, and then went on a pilgrimage to Tsurpu Monastery when he was 18, the seat of His Holiness Karmapa. And he received his Gelung ordination from the previous Taisitu Rinpoche, and then returned to Trangu Monastery, and began a 1 year retreat, I believe, and then or a 3 month retreat, and then extended it and did the traditional 3 year retreat that lamas do. So he was in retreat with 11 other men, and then at the end of it, he expressed his wish to remain in retreat for the rest of his life. But his teacher said, well, why don't you just do one more year? And then after that year, he was advised to start studying more advanced teachings. So he did that for 5 years later, for 5 years. And then when he was 30, his advanced training was completed and he started more private studies. Now, around this time, between 1950 and 1958, communist Chinese forces had come into Tibet. There were political, economic, and religious changes that were happening in Tibet. And in 1958, Rinpoche left Trungpa Monastery, and Rinpoche actually brought some of the texts with him from the monastery as he began to escape. So they actually, there's a long story that you can find on KTD's website in which they found themselves surrounded at one point by communist Chinese soldiers. And they were in a swamp and they literally had to use the swamp and split up and hide just to try to survive. And all of them did survive, although I think they lost a lot of their provisions and ended up in a very difficult situation with nothing to eat. But they did manage to make it down to Lhasa and managed to make it, which was still under the control of Tibet, still free, and managed to make it to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who gave them more provisions, and then they went on their way. So in 1959, they reached the border between Tibet and Bhutan. And they actually were not granted immediate passage through Bhutan. And so they spent a long time where thousands of Tibetans actually died of starvation trying to get permission from India so that Bhutan would let them pass through and go into India, which they eventually did. And they eventually resettled then at a refugee camp with more than 1,500 monks at Buxador. And Kathy was saying earlier that this was actually a really important moment because all of the four major lineages from Tibet were together for the first time. And there was a whole lot of sharing. There was a lot of organization that went on. It was kind of like a university setting. There was a lot of teaching. At the same time, it was a very, very difficult situation. And tuberculosis was rampant throughout the camp. I remember reading a story one time that talked about how with so much disease and so much suffering going on in the camp, especially at the beginning, many practices, meditation practices, started falling apart, and really things were starting to come apart at the seams. And this account I read talked about how Khenpo Rinpoche stood firm with his practice and got many of the others back on track with their practices. And it was the strength of Rinpoche that really turned things around in the camp. So they were actually there for 8 years, I believe it was. Several years, anyway.
8 years.
It was 8 years, okay. And then Rinpoche ended up going to a monastery in central Bhutan and began to receive empowerments and transmissions again. And it was around this time that he received the title of Choje Lama, or from His Holiness the 16th Karmapa. So one interesting thing about Khenpo Karta Rinpoche, many of our Rinpoches are tulkus. They're reborn from previous incarnations who have come back to continue their work, and they were Rinpoches in past lives. Khenpo Karta Rinpoche did it all in this life. And he's a powerful example of what can be accomplished in a single lifetime. So Khenpo Karta Rinpoche, or His Holiness Karmapa, told Khenpo Karta Rinpoche to come to North America and establish a center. So Lama Kathy has told the story about how he shows up at the at the airport, they wouldn't let him fly because he had tuberculosis. They wouldn't let him come to America. And somebody at a consulate had a really great idea and said, wait a second, we can get you to go on a medical visa because you have tuberculosis. And so he was actually able to make it to America and began to establish in upstate New York a center. It ended up being a different property that they were able to purchase to actually establish KTD, an old house on Mead Mountain, which has since been torn down, but now holds our extensive KTD, which if you've never been, it's amazing. It's beautiful. It's just not something you see anywhere else in this country. So after becoming established with KTD, then Kempo Garcha Rinpoche started establishing KTCs all over the country. And Columbus KTC was established in 1977 when he visited Columbus. And I think he made several trips here to establish it. And of course has made many trips since. What followed was a long period of teaching. He would travel and visit all of his centers every year. And he started establishing centers in Taiwan and I think Singapore and other places overseas. And he would try to make it to each one every year. And he did a lot of teaching. In addition, he started doing some very extensive summer teachings, which have since been scaled back to help make it easier for people to attend, and has now been known as the annual 10-day teachings, which he continued to do right up through this summer and did it this summer. He actually just announced a few years ago, maybe 4 years ago, that he was no longer going to be able to travel. So he was traveling up into his 90s. He was here in Columbus up into his 90s. And although he did still manage to make a trip to Taiwan and Hong Kong and things for some fundraising purposes to help pay off the loans at KTD, which he successfully did. So he managed to do that. He was in the 80s and 90s able to make it a couple times back to Tibet. He was there for His Holiness the 17th Karmapa's enthronement in the early 90s and was part of that. He also established, when some land was donated in Crestone, Colorado, he began the work of building a big stupa in the mountains in Crestone. And there is a documentary we watched actually as a Sangha one time, but if you could ever get your hands on it, it's amazing the work that went into years and years of volunteers making all of the precious items that go into a stupa. And it was a lot of long, long work that went into that. And I have never been there, but I hear phenomenal things about the stupa in Crestone. Rinpoche, of course, also has many books created from his writings. His life story has been written by Lama Karma. It was Lama Karma, right? Lama Karma Doldro, who wrote his life story, as well as, of course, Dharma Paths, that was put together from his teachings and is still a book that we use as a good introductory book for the whole path. And really, really covers A to Z, a lot of the what we teach here in our center. So, did you have more?
Can I do a wrap up?
Mm-hmm, sure.
So some of us, and I've seen several faces in the room that I think were around before even I went to the center. I've been very fortunate to be a student of over 30 years. And the most amazing thing about Rinpoche was this. He was trained to be the highest of the high lamas, to teach the lamas. But instead, he had to teach the daycare kids, the Americans that knew nothing about Buddhism. But because of his skilled training, and he was actually asked to go into meditation. I'm sorry, he was asked to leave retreat and to learn to become a Kenpo by Trolleg Rinpoche, who was the abbot of that of Trungpa Monastery, who we met many years later in the newer incarnation, who's now since passed. And they saw in him that he had such experiences that he was ripe for training. So he was trained in the really old school of logic, of geomancy, of mathematics, of astrology, and of psychology, how to work with people. So when he came here, he often talked about trying to figure out the Westerners. He was shocked how educated we were, because in Tibet, so many of them were never educated. So when he taught, he was guided always by, and what he's most famous for, I met several teachers when I lived in Nepal and India who would talk so much about Rinpoche and his discipline of following the words of his teacher of the Gyawan Karmapa. So the Karmapa gave him a lineup of first teach them Chenrezig, talk about compassion and meditation. And then slowly over the years, he started giving us really high teachings, more than we'll ever realize. And luckily, he was able to give the highest to the retreatants. And then not only that, was he a skilled teacher, but he loved to use his hands. I don't know if it's because he was born in the year of the mouse or what, but he could fix anything. You never showed up in front of him needing anything to be sewn because you knew he was going to sew it. He was going to comment to you that you needed to give it to him later so he would fix. I was famous for always being ragtaggy. He filled thousands of our statues that are at our homes now. And they're not just filled and they're not just heavy with sand. They're filled with relics that Rinpoche made a point to find when he would go back to Tibet. He would go there looking for relics and other things. He was always he was a teacher. He knew how to fill, he knew how to construct and fill stupas, statues, roll all the prayers. I mean, he just had so many skills that we'll never know. I remember at Karmi Ling, there was a room, his sewing room, they called it. And he sometimes had tables three times the size of that where he was making gigantic, putting the borders of tankas for the retreat site. So he was a skilled tailor. So he was a man of great skills. But I think his greatest one, and we can all attest to this, is that when he was teaching only to you, right? It always was so personal. That was his incredible skill. So we could go on for days talking about him. So we would really like to open it up now, and I think Kim could. And thank you so much, Marcus, for all the wonderful background.
Just welcome, everyone. Thank you for being here today, and many thanks to Lamo and to Marcus for leading and sharing Rinpoche's life story with us. As Lamo said so well just a moment ago, we all have so many memories and stories of Rinpoche, and we want to take today as a way to begin sharing those with everybody here. We have until a quarter after 12, and then we'll pause to chant Calling the Guru from Afar. It's a really beautiful prayer that Lama Kathy has asked us to recite today. Because I know there's a lot of memories today and stories to share, I'm going to ask that you just, when you come up to the microphone, just to share one so that everyone has an opportunity to share. And after everyone's kind of had a chance, we can come up and we want to continue hearing them until we have time. We are recording today so that we can share this also with the president of KTD, Lama Karma Drudel. So this is a really precious opportunity for us to begin honoring Rinpoche. So I invite anyone who would like to come up and to share a memory.
Yeah, back in 1997, I went to the 10-day teaching, and I remember the subject of the teaching was very complex to me, but there was always question and answer in the afternoon, and I think I already had bought a copy of Dharma Paths And it's a very good book. I remember asking him, because at the time I was interested in the fact that they were starting to look for life on other planets. And so I just asked him, do you believe there's life on other planets in other solar systems? And he said, yes, I believe there's life on other planets, but they're precious. They probably have different precious stones than we do, depending on the environment that they live in. And I thought that was such a unique answer. And that's my story of Kempo Karta Rinpoche.
Last week I was just getting back from a trip, and I was in the airport and I read an email that Kempo had passed. And it just hit me so strong. I started to think about the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And, you know, they say, oh, son of noble birth, don't give in to fear. Keep your heart open. And I was praying, and I just felt his presence. It's so, I mean, this guy's been meditating all his life. And I'm this puny meditator who really, you know, I'm trying to send a little energy up there. But he just brought it back to me. Because he's, you know, his presence, just thinking of him is a meditation. I have one time at a 10-day teaching, I just happened to be out, and Kempo Karta was going to feed the fish. So we walked down the path, and he had his sister with him. And he was just playful and smiling, and just what a beautiful smile. And we fed the fish, and there was no translator, so we just kept, you know, pointing the things and saying fish, road. I can't remember the words anymore. It was just his presence was wonderful. And I just feel so blessed that we have him in our life. And it's not like it's over. He's still here.
I've changed my mind three times what I was going to say. So I picked another one. Yeah. Most of you know I love Tara. It's my practice. It's not my main practice. It's extra. If I do Tara, it's extra. I have Nundro. But I've always loved Tara. So I went to Ann Arbor, KTC, when Rinpoche went there to give the White Tara empowerment. And their KTC is rather a smaller shrine room, so it really felt like you were sitting at the foot of the guru. It's not like at KTD where you're sitting way back, you know, or even when he comes here, you were always way back, but there you were just so close to him. And that empowerment was like so powerful for me. I've never had one before or since that was as strong as that one. And afterwards, I got to go sit by Rinpoche while milling around, and he put his hand on mine. And Rinpoche's thing is when he looked at you and gave you his head bump, it was like you were the only being in the universe. And he did that with everybody. The love and compassion and wisdom he had just permeated you from him. I mean, he could fill a whole room with that when he walked in. And that's what I want to share.
So in 2014, I think it was, I went to KTD for the first time and then was there again a couple weeks later. And Rinpoche was there the second time I was there. And I requested an interview. And I was a little unsure. Lama Kathy has been directing my practice. I didn't have a lot of practice questions because of my work with Lama Kathy. And I was a little unsure what to ask, but I definitely wanted an interview because I wanted to establish a connection with Rinpoche. And that was kind of my goal going into it. So I asked Lama Kathy about ideas for questions to ask. And one question she told me to ask was, how can I be of service to you? And his answer was, help Lama Kathy out at KTC, at Columbus KTC. And it really struck me, that's the way we can be of service to Rinpoche, is through volunteering here and helping keep Columbus KTC going strong. So Rinpoche had a real way of seeing behind the questions that you were asking and knowing what was really in your heart. And at the end of that interview, it was in his room at KTD, and he reached over to his nightstand and picked up this little Amitabha Buddha statue, and he gave it to me, and he said, let this serve as a connection between us to help with your practice. And he also mentioned a specific part of my practice that needed help that I had not said. And he said, let this serve as a connection between us. And so this stays either in my pocket or on my shrine or somewhere where it's very visible to me, and I'll always treasure my little statue from Rinpoche. So.
So I took refuge with Rinpoche, I think, in 1980. And I had gone to a public talk when he came to St. Stephen's Church. I'm not sure how I found out about this, but I'd been to Dharamsala in India. I'd connected with the Tibetan community. I definitely had a resonance with Tibetan Buddhist practice, but I hadn't connected with any teachers there or in California when I went back, but I ended up in Columbus, Ohio, and met Kenpo Rinpoche here, which was amazing. But I went to have a interview before the refuge ceremony. And so I came in, I was a little bit early, and he was sitting at the breakfast table eating cereal out of one of those plastic bowls that has the big feet and the eyes on the side. And I saw this, and I saw him sitting there eating out of this bowl, and I was like, this is the guy for me. And I just wanted to comment, Kathy, on what you said about his hands, that it was just the way he moved. He had such grace, like, you know, whoever of you who've seen him, like, there was no superfluous movement. It was all just, I don't know what it was about him, but he was just all there. And just so delicate in his hands, so graceful. So I'm just deeply grateful to have had him as a teacher and still have him. He's always been in my heart.
I can't decide which one, so I think I'll just use them. So Orville and I took refuge I think the month was May. And we went back, he told us to come back for the Bodhisattva vows in July. And we had gone to the KTC. And a lot of people told us, oh, you don't need to go back to KTD. Rinpoche will be here, comes all the time. Don't go that far away. But what no one knew was he had really bad gallbladder problems and he didn't travel for a couple of years. And we kind of ignored that. And people said, oh, you really shouldn't come to this and this because you're not a high student. We are. And, you know, it was just, you know, it was a funny time at the center. And Orville and I took a vow together on our 12-hour drive to New York. We'll never be involved in Columbus KTC. Never. We're never going to enter that place again. The monastery is going to be our home. So Rinpoche asked to see us, have an interview. We didn't even set one up. And we sat down, and the translator was there, and the translator said, Rinpoche would like you and Orville to be as involved as you can the rest of your life at Columbus KTC.
And we shot each other a look, and Rinpoche slapped his leg so hard and laughed, like, so loud. And we just looked at him and then looked at each other like, oh, my gosh, what have we gotten into? So that was my, I think, my main introduction into the amazing powers of Rinpoche's perception and trusting him. So we said, okay, and he made us shake hands. So anyway, so that was one story. Thank you.
So we definitely have about 10 more minutes. There are so many stories to share, but this is one that's been dear to me, and one I've actually shared recently with a few people. At my very first 10-day teaching, which was a little bit overwhelming because I was such a new student, and it was really just such amazing teachings, and to absorb so much information over the course of the 10 days, I felt a little overwhelmed with it. But I was so happy I could be there with Rinpoche, and I could tell what a really special person he was. But at the end of the 10-day teaching, Rinpoche stood up. Before he stood up, he said, I just want to take a moment to thank all of the students here at the 10-day teaching. He said, apparently there had been some discord or disharmony among the students at the 10-day teaching, and he said, there's such harmony among all of you. And he said, I just want to thank you so much for just your kindness and your compassion and with one another. And he said, I would like to give all of you a white kata. Traditionally, we would give a kata to thank Rinpoche, but he wanted to give all of us who attended the 10-day teaching a kata. And he stood up and he opened his arms. And I don't know how to describe it, but he emanated this unconditional love. It was just filled the whole room. I've never felt anything like it. I've never experienced anything like that. I don't normally say things like this because it's not my nature to do this, but it was such a phenomenal moment. And I just burst into tears. I have just the love that we all felt at that moment from Rinpoche for each of us. And whether he knew us or he didn't know us well, it didn't make any difference. The love was actually the same. And we all went into, formed a line, and he all gave us a kata. And I think at that moment, I'm like, Rinpoche, I'm yours. That was I was so grateful to have been there for that 10-day teaching.
While people are thinking of them, I'll throw in a couple things. One is just a simple thing. I was there when His Holiness Karmapa came to KTD and when he arrived. And to see the joy on Rinpoche's face, he seemed like a little boy. I mean, he just lit up when he was around His Holiness Karmapa, and it was beautiful to see. I also wanted to mention that that he said for the last few years that before he died, he wanted to see our center rebuilt. And that's been a big push. And he didn't get that, but we are really in the last stages and ready to start building. So he really, really helped a lot with the fundraising and getting us to where we are. Yeah, right. And he's designed all of that for when the building's ready. So yep, all of our rupas.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning, everybody. I was fortunate enough to attend several of KKR's teachings. I also volunteered up at KTD a couple times, so I got to be in his presence a little more than maybe some of the average, not the average, but some of the members of Columbus KTC. What I wanted to bring out that some people have touched on, but I felt that he had a great sense of humor. Some of the images I have in my mind of him are him laughing and smiling. And he loved to wear silly hats. I remember once they made a bunch of balloon hats and everybody wore them at the teaching here at the old KTC. He loved his little stuffed animals. I gave him one that some of you may have seen the photo I posted on Facebook. Last week, I gave him a little rooster that squeaked when you squoze it, and or squeezed it, whatever. And he just, I'll never forget him just laughing and laughing at that. And, you know, it was just cool to be able to be around someone who had such presence, who was yet still so approachable and treated everyone with equanimity. And I was very saddened to hear about his passing. You know, he had a full life, but, you know, those of us who were able to be in his presence felt that. And I think all of us have said that. You know, I've had several losses this year, and it's been rough. And, you know, but I am grateful that I was able to be in his presence. Thanks.
Okay, second story. The first time I met Rinpoche was at an open talk at Columbus KTC. And everybody was so excited to meet this little monk. And I'm like, what is this little Tibetan monk going to do for me? I mean, you know, I mean, his life is completely different than mine. I don't understand this, excitement that they're having. And I had come to Buddhism with a lot of anger that I was tired of the anger. So I'm sitting there and he comes in the room and I swear the room was filled with love the minute he walked in, and I kind of sat up, and I went, He got up, and he did the traditional, thank you for inviting me in, well, blah, 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 you know how he does. Then he starts the open talk. He goes, your true nature is not anger. If it was anger, you would not have a moment in your life that you weren't angry. And I was like, oh, he read my mind. So he had me from then on. And I truly believe he is a bodhisattva. I truly believe that.
We haven't really touched on one thing that we did last Sunday, I think, which was, as you'll see all over Facebook, and I think even KTD website, and Lama Kathy may have posted this, that Rinpoche is still in Thukdam, meaning that he's still in the Dharmakaya. He hasn't fully left. So his body is full of blessings at this time. And so this is the time where his students particularly can receive blessings, just thinking of him, resting your mind. Or if you do Chenrezig during the dissolution stage, imagine him entering you. Or if you do Green Tara or Medicine Buddha or Ngundro, so you can constantly all day long, just for a moment, feel his presence within you, because it is. So I just want to let you know this is a very rarefied time. So I have one other story. It's not so personal as an observation. I was very fortunate to go right after 9/11 to the first Milan with His Holiness Gyawa Karmapa, and Rinpoche invited my husband and I, only because I happened to be somewhere at that time. So he saw us and said, oh, you could come. And he wasn't sure if I could go because of my stroke, if I could manage all the stairs. Because in India, they don't have handrails and things like that. And so the event was gigantic. There were maybe 5,000 to 10,000 people there. And security was so intense that, you know, everyone had guns and you were heavily searched, which I was very grateful for. But Rinpoche said to me personally, let them know you need help. So sometimes I would walk through really narrow areas, and all the monks in unison would put their arms up, hands up. So I always had someone helping me. And I always felt Rinpoche's there letting me not worry about looking so goofy, you know. And even after a while, the guards would help me down the stairs. So one afternoon, he wanted me to pick something up in his room. We didn't stay in them where the monks were. And outside Rinpoche's room were 100 pairs of shoes. And I thought I had the wrong room. So I peeked in, and he was teaching. And someone told me, Bardo Rinpoche said he taught the entire time he wasn't at the Munlam. He was teaching. He was asked by so many. These are high lamas getting teachings from him. So I don't think sometimes we realized who he really, he was so much to so many people. So are there any other stories before we do the calling?
Thank you. For me, I never really had, I've been coming to Columbus KTC for 10 years, but I never really had a chance to talk to Rinpoche. But I think a lot of us here might be kind of new, so maybe they didn't get to talk to Rinpoche either. But one thing I did do is practice his teaching, and I think that even though I never spoke to him personally, I feel very connected to him by following his teaching and advices. And that's how we might be able to, even though we might never meet him again, that's how we may be able to know him and in connection with him. That's all. Thank you.
And now, the chanting of calling the guru from afar.
All right, let's all read it together.
So this line is said twice, just so you were thinking.
Okay.
This is the beginning of here.
Okay, so the first line, we'll start with the guru think of me, and we'll say that twice, and then keep reading from there. Guru, think of me. Guru, think of me. Kind root guru, think of me. Essence of the Buddhas of the three times, source of the sublime Dharma of statements and realization, sovereign of the Sangha, the assembly of noble ones, root guru, think of me. Great treasure of blessings and compassion, source of the two cities, enlightened activity that grants all wishes, root guru, think of me. Guru, boundless light, think of me. Regard me from the expanse of the unconstructed Dharmakaya. Lead me, wandering through samsara because of my evil actions, to rebirth in your pure land of great bliss. Guru, almighty Avalokiteshvara, think of me. Regard me from the expanse of luminous Sambhogakaya. Completely pacify the suffering of the six classes of beings and churn the three realms of samsara from their depths. Guru Padmasambhava, think of me. Regard me from Chamara, the realm of lotus light. As I am without refuge in this dark age, protect your helpless disciple with your swift compassion. Guru Yeshe Tsogal, think of me. Regard me from the celestial city of great bliss. Though I have done much evil, free me from the ocean of existence into the great city of liberation. Lineage gurus of the karma and dharma, think of me. Regard me from the expanse of the unified wakefulness. In my mind, a cave dark with confusion, make the sun of realization dawn. Omniscient Drime Ozer, think of me. Regard me from the expanse of the five lights of his presence. Having perfected the great strength of realizing primordial purity, help me reach culmination in the four visions. Peerless Lord Atisha, Father and Sons, think of me. Regard me from Tushita while surrounded by hundreds of deities. Cause Bodhicitta, emptiness suffused with compassion, to arise within my mind. Supreme Siddhas, Marpa, Milarepa, and Gompopa, think of me. Regard me from the basic space of indestructible great bliss. Help me to attain the supreme Siddha of Mahamudra, empty bliss, and awaken Dharmakaya in the depths of my heart. Mighty Lord of this world, Karmapa, think of me. Regard me from the basic space, taming beings to the reaches of space. Help me realize that all phenomena are false, mere illusions. Cause experiences to arise as the three kayas. Masters of the four great and eight lesser Kagyu lineages, think of me. Regard me from the Buddha field of pure personal experience. Having dissolved the confusion of the four states, lead me to the end of experience and realization. Five Sakya forefathers, think of me. Regard me from the expanse of samsara and nirvana indivisible. Combining the pure view, meditation, and conduct, lead me along the supreme path of secrets. Unequaled masters of the Shangpa Kagyu, think of me. Regard me from the Buddha realm of total purity. By properly practicing means and liberation, enable me to discover the unity beyond learning. Mahasiddha Tangtan Gyalpo, think of me. Regard me from the expanse of effortless compassion. By practicing the discipline of realizing the absence of concrete reality, enable me to master prana and mind. Only Father Dampa Sanjay, think of me. Regard me from the basic space which accomplishes the supreme activity. With the lineage blessings entering my heart, cause auspicious connections to arise in all directions. Only Mother Machik Labdron, think of me. Regard me from the expanse of Prajnaparamita. Cutting through the subtle pretense of clinging to a self, may I see the truth of the simplicity beyond self. Omniscient Dolgpo Sanjay, think of me. Regard me from the basic space endowed with the supreme of all aspects. Having stilled the breath of transference within the central channel, may I attain the Vajra body beyond transference. Jetsun Taranta, think of me. Regard me from the basic space of the three companions. Having traveled the secret Vajra path unimpeded, may I accomplish the celestial rainbow body. Terchen Chogyur Lingpa, think of me. Regard me from the all-pervasive realm of Dharmakaya. Having let dualistic thought dissolve into the state of non-arising, may I reassume the seat of natural awareness. Urjan Denchen Lingpa, think of me. Regard me from the self-luminous realm of Sambhogakaya. Enable me to realize, beyond abandonment and attainment, the spontaneous presence of the five kayas and wisdoms. All-pervasive Shikpo Lingpa, think of me. Regard me from the compassionate state of taming beings. Discovering the jewel of mind within myself, may the fruition be perfected within the ground. Simpa Padma Ling, think of me. Look upon me from the realm of the magical net. May I be inseparable from the Supreme Wisdom King, the Sovereign of the Four Kayas. Jamyang Kensei Wangpo, think of me. Regard me from the basic space of the wisdom of twofold knowledge. Dispelling the mental darkness of unknowing, may I spread the light of supreme knowledge. Osul Trulpe Dorje, think of me. Regard me from the expanse of five-colored rainbow lights. Having purified the stains of essences, winds, and perception, may I awaken within the youthful vase body. Pema Donyak Lingpa, think of me. Regard me from the expanse of unchanging empty bliss. Grant me the ability to completely fulfill all intentions of the victorious ones and their heirs. Nyawang Yuntin Gyatso, think of me. Regard me from the expanse of the unity of basic space and wisdom. Rending my clinging to an apparent reality, may I bring whatever arises into the path. Son of the victorious one, Lodro Taye, think of me. Regard me from the expanse of loving kindness and compassion. Knowing all beings to be my kind parents, may I acquire a pure altruistic heart. Pema Garji Wangchuk, think of me. Regard me from the basic space of luminous great bliss. Having liberated the five poisons into the five wisdoms, may I destroy the duality of loss and gain. Chenyi Yungdrung Lingpa, think of me. Regard me from the basic space in which existence and peace are equal. Genuine devotion having grown in my mind, may the great realization and liberation be simultaneous. Bokar Mighty Vajradhara, think of me. Regard me from the supreme realm of Akanishta. Having realized all apparent phenomena as Mahamudra, may I attain non-meditation, the Dharmakaya. Kind Root Guru, think of me. Regard me from the crown of my head, the abode of great bliss. Having met Dharmakaya, natural awareness, face to face, may I accomplish Buddhahood in a single lifetime. Alas, sentient beings like me, with negative karma and evil deeds, having wandered in samsara from beginningless time, I continue to experience endless suffering, but I never feel even the briefest moment of regret. Guru, think of me, regard me with compassion, bless me that renunciation may arise from the depths of my heart. Through having attained the freedoms and riches, I squander my life, always preoccupied by pointless affairs of this world. When applying myself to the great pursuit of liberation, I am overcome by laziness. As I return from the Island of Jewels empty-handed, Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that my human life may become meaningful. Not a single life on earth escapes death. Even now they pass away, one after the other. Soon I too must die. I am a fool thinking I will remain forever. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me so that with no time to waste, I will curtail my plans. I will be separated from each of my loved ones. All the valuables I have hoarded will be enjoyed by others. Even this body I hold so dear will be left behind. And within the bardo, my consciousness will wander aimlessly throughout samsara. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that I may realize the futility of it all. The black darkness of fear confronts me. The fierce gale of karma pursues me. The Lord of Death's hideous thugs club and beat me. Having to endure the unbearable suffering of negative rebirths, Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that I may be liberated from the abyss of the lower realms. Though my faults are as great as a mountain, I keep them to myself. Though others' faults are as small as a sesame seed, I proclaim them far and wide. Though I lack the least of qualities, I boast about how great I am. I call myself a Dharma practitioner, but behave to the contrary. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me to pacify my selfish pride. Within I conceal my nemesis, the demon of ego clinging. All my thoughts only cause disturbing emotions to increase. All my actions result in non-virtue. As I have not so much as turned to the path of liberation, Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that self-grasping may be severed at the root. With a little praise or blame comes that much joy or sorrow. With a few harsh words, I let down my armor of patience. Although I see the afflicted, I feel no compassion. When I have the chance to be generous, I am bound by the knot of greed. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me to mingle my mind with the Dharma. Though insubstantial, I ascribe substance to samsara. For the sake of food and clothing, I abandon what has lasting value. Although I have all that is needed, I crave for more and more. I deceive myself with unreal, illusory phenomena. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me to abandon any interest in such a life as this. Unbearable, unable to bear the slightest physical or mental pain, with jaded heart, I don't hesitate to take inferior rebirths. Even though I directly perceive that cause and effect are unfailing, instead of doing what is right, I only perpetuate harm. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that I gain conviction in the law of karma. I hate my enemies and cling to my friends. Groping in dark delusion as to what to accept and reject. When practicing the Dharma, I fall prey to dullness and sleep. When involved in non-Dharma, my senses are clear and sharp. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that I destroy my enemy, disturbing emotions. On the surface, I appear to be a pure practitioner, while inwardly my mind isn't mingled with the Dharma. Like a viper, I hide my disturbing emotions within, but faced with trouble, my faults are exposed. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that I may tame my own mind. Failing to notice my own shortcomings, pretending to be spiritual, I am anything but. Naturally skilled in negative emotions and karma, again and again good intentions arise, again and again they come to naught. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that I might see my own faults. As each day passes, death approaches ever nearer. As each day passes, my heart becomes ever more calloused. While following a teacher, my devotion gradually fades, and my love and pure perception towards my Dharma friends diminish. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me to tame my savage mind. I take refuge, engender bodhicitta, and supplicate, but devotion and compassion are not felt deep within my heart. These Dharma activities are mere lip service. I only go through the motions and am left untouched. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that whatever I do may lead to Dharma. All suffering arises from wanting my own happiness. Although it is said that Buddhahood is accomplished by wanting to help others, though I engender bodhicitta, secretly my aims are selfish. On top of not benefiting others, I harm them. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that I am able to put myself in others' place. Although my guru is the Buddha actually manifest, I think of him as simply human. I forget his kindness in imparting the profound instructions. If he doesn't give me what I want, I lose faith. I obscure myself by seeing his behavior through doubts and disdain. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that my devotion may not fade but grow. Although my mind is the Buddha, I don't recognize it. Although my thinking is Dharmakaya, I don't realize it. Although non-fabrication is the innate, I fail to sustain it. Although naturalness is the basic state, I am not convinced. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that natural awareness is liberated into itself. Although death is sure to come, I am unable to take it to heart. Although applying the genuine Dharma is sure to help, I am unable to practice it. Although the law of karma is certainly true, I don't discriminate correctly. Although mindfulness is surely needed, I don't apply it and am carried away by distraction. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that I maintain undistracted mindfulness. Through previous bad karma, I was born at the end of this dark age. All I have done only results in suffering. The bad influence of others has cast its shadow upon me. My practice of virtue is overcome by the distractions of meaningless talk. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me to be able to persevere in the Dharma practice. At first, I thought of nothing but the Dharma. But in the end, the results of my actions only cause further samsara in the lower realms. The harvest of liberation is ravaged by the frost of non-virtue. Like a savage, I destroy what is of lasting value. Guru, think of me. Regard me with compassion. Bless me that I may perfect the sublime Dharma. Bless me that disenchantment is felt from the bottom of my heart. Bless me that without wasting time, I curtail my plans. Bless me that I take death to heart. Bless me that I feel conviction in the law of karma. Bless me that the path is free of obstacles. Bless me that I am able to practice diligently. Bless me that difficulties are utilized as the path. Bless me that I may be steadfast in using the remedies. Bless me that I feel genuine devotion. Bless me that I may come face to face with the natural state. Bless me that the natural awareness is awakened within my heart. Bless me that confused experience is severed at the root. Bless me that I may accomplish Buddhahood in a single lifetime. Precious Guru, I supplicate you. Kind Dharma Lord, I cry out with longing. Unfortunate though I am, my one hope is you. Bless me that we mingle our minds indivisibly.
So this last line, Precious Guru, these four lines are said two other times.
Okay, two more times on the last stanza, starting with Precious Guru. Precious Guru, I supplicate you. Kind Dharma Lord, I cry out with longing. Unfortunate though I am, my one hope is you. Bless me that we may mingle our minds indivisibly. Precious Guru, I supplicate you. Kind Dharma Lord, I cry out with longing. Unfortunate though I am, my one hope is you. Bless me that we mingle our minds indivisibly. I know we're over just a little bit, but if I thought we could take just a couple minutes to do a short guru yoga session with Khenpo Rinpoche. So I'll kind of talk through it to guide everyone for those not familiar with this practice.
This is from Lundro.
So first let's visualize Khenpo Karcha Rinpoche either above our head or in front of us, however works best for you. And try to get an image of him in front of you, but not as physical flesh and blood, but as made of light and insubstantial. So let's take a second to get that visualization. And once you're visualizing Khenpo Rinpoche, go ahead and say some prayers to him. I won't guide you in these. Make them as personal as you want to make them. But pray to Rinpoche, whatever you'd like to say to him. Now visualize light rays emanating from Rinpoche's forehead to your forehead. The white rays of light coming from his forehead to your forehead. This is the empowerment of the body. Now, visualize red rays of light from his throat to your throat as the empowerment of speech. And the empowerment of mind, visualize blue rays of light from his heart to your heart. And think that all the obscurations of the three doors, body, speech, and mind, are purified and removed. And then visualize all three lights coming at once. And now visualizing Rinpoche melting into light and dissolving into you, and his mind and your mind mix. Rest in awareness as your mind mixes with Rinpoche's mind. Okay. Thank you all for coming. Let's dedicate the merit from being here, from connecting with Rinpoche here today. Dedicate that virtue and the benefit from that virtue to all beings throughout all space and time. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Dharma Talk. To learn more about the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling, please visit our website at columbusktc.org. The opening and closing music for the podcast is Tibetan Flute Song by Tamding Arts at tamdingarts.com. Please join us again next week for another Dharma Talk.